God's grace and mercy be with you. Through the power of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Today, Jesus Christ has come all the way into your lives. Not because he's some sort of a shape-shifter, but because Jesus was and is truly human. Because of this, he could take on the sins of the world. And because of this, he could take on your sins. Because of this, he calls you brothers and sisters, and you are forgiven of your sins, victors over death, no longer slaves to the fear of death. This is his victory. And because Jesus came all the way down, became fully human, and yet is fully God, this is your victory too. Amen. Being human after the fall seems to be both a blessing and a curse. And I suspect you will agree to this without much persuasion. We are capable of great things on this earth. Just yesterday, July 20th, marked the 50th anniversary of the moon landing. In the same summer that Bethel, as a congregation, was celebrating 100 years, Neil Armstrong stepped out of the lunar lander and took that famous first step and said those memorable words I suspect many of you know by heart. One small step for man and one giant leap for mankind. It was a moment that captured not only the nation, but the whole world. If we could send a man to the moon, what could stop us from solving any other problem? Years later, though I missed the moon landing by about 8 years, as a child of the 80s, I too would be swept up in the excitement of space, inspired and in awe of the space shuttle and the missions that the new space shuttles were taking. And I began to discover what an incredible accomplishment this kind of travel was. Later on, as an engineering student, I would learn about tolerances, the amount of error that is available in any one part or any one dimension of a part. And I learned that these can have a stacking effect, that a small error here can produce a large error in the whole system. Because of this, we find that as systems get more complicated, they get more expensive to make. For instance, a coat hanger can be made much more sloppily than a car. Makes sense, I suppose, for a lot of reasons. If both are going to work, the car needs to be more precise. This is part of the reason why cars are more expensive than coat hangers, right? Similarly, a space vehicle like the shuttle or a lunar lander, if they're going to work reliably, must be made with much more accuracy than a car. And because of this, the money spent on a single space shuttle, I did a little math yesterday to figure this out, could buy over 6 million new cars. As small as the allowable tolerances in something complicated as space travel, we did it. We accomplished it 50 years ago. And I say the we generously, since I was not there, I had no part in it. I suspect most of us did not either. But we can claim this and celebrate it. We sent a man to the moon. Humanity is capable of great things. Yet, on the other hand, we have failed to accomplish much that we as humans should accomplish. And we have negatively accomplished much that we should have avoided. And I think we can all agree on this as well. We still have threats in our lives, don't we? Hunger, violence, pain, sickness, and death. As much as we have accomplished together, we have not been able to overcome the curse of sin, not trusting God above all things, and all that has come with it. So in Hebrews, we read this today. For it was fitting that Jesus, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. What a strange verse this is. The one who created all, that is to say, the one through whom we all exist, you and all who sit around you, the one who created this beautiful world that we enjoy on a day like today, and space too, and space travel for that matter, the whole galaxy, the whole universe. This one Lord stooped down into creation right here to become human. And not only that, not just to become human, but to suffer our sin and to die death for us. So that we humans, who on the one hand are capable of so much, yet also so little, could be reconciled, forgiven, and made holy or sanctified. So that we humans could be called brothers and sisters of Christ. That is the power of the cross that the Holy Spirit, through the book of Hebrews, is bringing to you now. And all of this has come to you through the suffering of our Lord Jesus. So this verse is strange, not only that all things have come through God, but God has suffered so that we might be saved. It seems so strange to our way of thinking, but Hebrews calls it fitting that Christ would suffer. How is it fitting, I wonder, that the Lord of all would need to suffer and die? It is fitting, because in that way, because Jesus took on our frail flesh, as one of our hymns says, full of unbelief, full of moral and physical decay, full of self-importance and fear, it is fitting that Jesus took on our frail flesh so that he could not only win victory over sin, death, and the devil. That would be great in itself and is, but so that you could be brought into that victory, so that you could know his true and lasting peace. Not just know of it or hear about it, but receive it and live in it. This is why it is fitting that our Lord would give you perfect salvation through his own suffering. And Hebrews says something about this, that because of this, Jesus, through death, destroys death and delivers us from the fear of death, which is our lifelong slavery. And I don't know that I had thought of it in exactly these terms before, but Hebrews says this is your lifelong slavery, the fear of death. And the devil makes sure that you know that you are reminded of it. So Hebrews is telling us that we who fear death live in lifelong slavery to it. But Christ has delivered us from this. I was reminded of this in a powerful way this last week. I was on some continuing education at a family camp in Alexandria, near Alexandria, Minnesota, Mount Carmel. And I was hearing a story told by a missionary and his son, who work at Mount Carmel, of their work in Tanzania in the 50s and 60s. Before it was Tanzania, actually. And specifically, I heard about one painful piece of their life there. It was the death of a newborn sister and daughter back in that day. In a time and place where communication was not by satellite or even phone, and travel was slow, I mourned with them hearing the story over 50 years after it happened. And I was reminded, too, of my time in Africa working on missionary airplanes in Nairobi, Kenya. And so their story struck a few nerves with me in a way that I did not expect. I traveled with when I was there and learned from and worked with a great mechanic whose name was Ryan. We were both there short term, getting a taste of life in missionary aviation. He ended up staying there and getting married, having a family, and working as a missionary aviation mechanic. He He was a great mechanic and a great father. He had a great life in Nairobi. He loved it there. I got word some years later that Ryan had been in an accident, a crash of one of the missionary planes that he was working on during a test flight. And he had been badly burned, though he had survived. And so days later, he was flown down to South Africa, where there was a better burn clinic than in Nairobi. And some days later, he died there. What a tragedy, I was reminded. What a loss of a great person. Much more so for those who were close to Ryan than for me. But I wondered, does it end there? Does a life of giftedness in understanding how things work, curiosity, pressed into the service and passion of the gospel of Jesus in Africa, just end there? And why? And answers to these questions, as many of you know, don't come easily. But Hebrews gives us the best answer we could ever want. It was fitting that our Lord Jesus Christ took on our flesh and died our death so that the power of death could be destroyed. And you do not need to be afraid of it any longer. You do not need to be a slave to it anymore. For in baptism you have already died. You are joined to the death of Christ and to his resurrection. And in the end you will be raised up with all the saints, that is, all your sisters and brothers in Christ, in a glorious resurrection. And while that doesn't necessarily take away the pain of our loss, it gives us a promise that goes beyond. It gives us a hope that goes beyond the power of death. And so while on this day, you may find great fascination, as I do, with human accomplishments, and we can celebrate that we have found a way to manage tolerance stacking and all the things that go with it. We've made it to the moon. We've done many other great feats. The flesh and blood that we share can never solve the stacking of our sin. There is no 3D modeling program for this to give you peace, to make you new. There's no equation for defeating death itself. But in Jesus Christ, who became human for your sake, God has done what is otherwise impossible. You have been reconciled with him through his suffering. You have been forgiven. And you are now called a sister and a brother in Christ. And in him, the power and sting of death has been defeated. Amen.